are so grateful that you've given them to us, Lord, and we pray that we would just take heed unto them, Lord, and learn what you have for us so that we could walk through this life, Lord, and walk with you while we're here. And Father, we pray now that our eyes and our ears would be open to your words, and that we would just glorify you for whatever we've learned, and because we know, Lord, that you're the teacher, and we pray that you would just that we would just learn from you. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, last week we ended going through the warfare that a Christian will endure, starting from the time that they get saved. And this is a spiritual warfare. It's a fight, a battle, and it's to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The Bible says, verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Okay. Now, again, we went over this warfare. It's spiritual. It's not physical. And it's against the one that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Okay? It's against the devil, folks. It's against Satan. And Satan has influence throughout the world. And Satan influences through people. Okay? Now, maybe he show up at your door in person one day, but I hope not. You know, we have a hard enough time dealing with people in general, right? Especially the unsaved, and we wouldn't be able to deal with Lucifer if he showed up at our door, which I don't believe he's going to. We're not that important for him. But the devil is looking for whom he may devour. Okay, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour, and you don't want to put yourself in a position where you can be devoured by him. Okay. And in order for you to do this, to keep out of that position, that's where this whole armor of God comes on, okay? And we need to learn to put that on. It's through the words. We need to study. We need to read. We need to sit under the preaching, sit under the teaching, and learn how to put this armor on, because it's all based upon the Word of God. Now, there's a couple people we're going to look at this morning here. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. If I find it. Verse 18. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Okay? "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Of whom," and he names them, "Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Okay? And so here you find a couple men blaspheming the Word of God. And I'm going to say this, and these guys are Christians. Okay? And the reason why you can put that together is because those that are not Christians, they're already Satans. And those that are Christians, there are certain conditions where they can be delivered over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, right? That the soul may be saved. The soul's going to be saved, but God wants them to get right on earth. And so sometimes you have to give people over to the devil. Okay, now, how do you go about doing that? I have no idea, all right? I think when you give things over to God, God then delivers you, right? And sometimes you just got to give things over to God, but sometimes people need to be taken out of the church because they're causing too many problems. And for the sake of everybody in the church, hey, when you're ousted out of the church, and you, basically you're given over to the devil, folks. And we need to be need to be mindful of some of these things. These guys, they're Christians, and they get delivered unto Satan. And so if a person is ever delivered unto Satan, you might as well just put a fork in you, folks, right? Put a fork in you, because, he's a powerful being. And now, is this the devil himself? It could be just the spiritual wickedness, right? Spiritual wickedness. We went through the different definitions of Satan. But this is the condemnation, folks, of the devil. This is under his reproach. This is under his snare. This is what we talked about a little bit last week. Condemnation. A believer can come into condemnation. And 1 Timothy 3:6. That's found there. And so either you're going to stand for Jesus Christ, and the only way to do that is to earnestly contend for the faith and make sure you put the whole armor God on, or you're going to fall in the condemnation of the devil. Not to be confused with the everlasting condemnation of death, as found in that John 5:24, which we saw last week. And so Jude, he tells us, earnestly contend for the faith. Hey, have you received the gift of the gospel, right? By grace through faith, then you're a steward, the Bible says, of the manifold grace of God. That's found in 1 Peter 4:10. You're a steward. Everybody that's received the gospel is a steward, okay? 1 Peter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay? And so, and it's required, the Bible says, that a steward be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay? And so what every Christian is to contend for is first the faith of the gospel. You keep that. And you got to hold on to that, folks, because there's going to be people that try and talk you out of this stuff. I mean, and you wouldn't be surprised how many of them fall for water baptism saves, right? After they've trusted in Jesus Christ. You'd be surprised how many are easily talked out of salvation by grace through faith. And of course, not every Christian knows all the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Right? There's mysteries there. There's seven that I see. There might be more, but there's seven of them there. Seven mysteries. And pastor's got that written, those references written, which we'll go through a little bit later here. But not every Christian knows all the mysteries of God and can be faithful in all the, in proclaiming all the mysteries of God. Paul didn't even, I don't think Paul knew all the mysteries of God. John brings up one in Revelation, mystery of Babylon. So, but he knew he was faithful in the mysteries that he knew. And so, but not every Christian knows all the mysteries of God and can be faithful in proclaiming them. But they can earnestly contend and fight for the truth of the gospel, folks. They can do that if they've received it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, a couple verse chapters over, 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Every Christian can deliver the gospel to somebody, folks. And how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a mystery. It's a mystery. This is a mystery according to Ephesians 6:19. Ephesians 6:19. But it's been revealed, right? It was a mystery to somebody, but it's revealed today. Ephesians 6:19, the Bible says, "And for me, that utterance," this is Paul speaking, "may be given unto me, that I may open up my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." It's a mystery. And we're to make known that mystery to others. Why? Because it's through the gospel that the Jew and the Gentile alike are together in Christ. And that is without difference, folks, or distinction. Neither male nor female. Neither Jew nor Greek. Bond nor free, right? There's no distinction there. And this is an equality, and it's a unity of all who believe in Jesus Christ, whether they're Jew or whether they're Gentile. And when a person understands that, the gospel is for everybody, right? It's a mystery. When they understand that it's for everybody, they can be faithful at proclaiming that gospel to those they come across, no matter who they are. No matter who they are. And so, do you know why Jude is saying you have to fight for this faith? You know why he's saying that? Look, if you would, in Galatians 1:6. There's going to be a few different places we go. But Galatians 1:6. The Bible says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Isn't it? So here's people in the church at Galatia that are being removed unto another gospel, which is not another, but a perversion of such. It says, verse 7, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Okay? And so, but they're so soon removed from it. The moment they get saved, boom, they're back into some other heresy. They're talked out of their salvation, which they're not talked out of it. We know that they have eternal security, but I mean, they might not know that at the time. There was a time that I didn't know I had eternal security, and I was 18 at the time, right? I'm thinking, man, I just gave away my salvation. I said something stupid, and man, did it bug me. And man, I'll tell you what, I was searching for the answer there. Well, how do I get it back? What do I do here? And then I found out, and I learned, that's 18. I was saved when I was in Sunday school with Brother Hoffman. And it took me that long to understand it, right? That it was eternal. It's forever. Everlasting. But these people are being soon removed from it unto another gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel that they had. Again, Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:20. 1 Timothy 1:20. This is why we're to earnestly contend for the faith, because there's somebody out there trying to take it from you. Right? We know the wicked one wants to steal that which is sown in our hearts. 1 Timothy 1, verse 20. The Bible says, so there we go. There's some more people. This warfare that he's talking about. Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were blaspheming the word of God. Hymenaeus was saying that the resurrection was past already. And Alexander, he withstood the teaching of preaching of Paul. In other words, Paul was being a faithful minister, right, of Christ and proclaiming the mysteries of God, mysteries like the incarnation. 1 Timothy 3:16. And mysteries like the indwelling Christ, Colossians 1:27. Mysteries like the one body, Jew and Gentile in one body, right? Ephesians 5:30 and 32. And the mystery of the wandering Jews, Romans 11:25. And the mystery of the devil incarnate, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And the mystery of the rapture, that's a mystery, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 55. And that's part of the first resurrection. That is the resurrection from the dead. The second resurrection would be the resurrection of the dead, right? But that's part of that resurrection from the dead. And when you have people that rise up in a church and start to teach against the Bible, just like these two were teaching against the Word of God that Paul was teaching, which is the Word of God. They might not have had the Bible. What he was teaching was the Word of God. We received it not as the Word of men, but as it were the Word of God, right? Well, then, and when the Bible plainly points out, that is grounds, folks. That is grounds for dismissal from the church. That's what the Bible says. They removed these guys out of the church, and they delivered them unto Satan. Right? So that they could learn not to blaspheme. They needed to learn a lesson. And so, why do they get right with the Lord? Again, another warning, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is why Jude is saying you got to earnestly contend for the faith, because there's spirits out there and doctrines out there that don't line up with the Word of God. And if you don't know what's in the Word of God, you stand or you fall. Jesus said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they don't know the Scriptures. And they're not earnestly contending for them. They're right there in front of us. They're there for everybody to have. But he's warning about people departing from the faith here. And that is the body of revealed truth, folks. The book of faith, the body of revealed truth, right? We've got it all here. And as found in the Bible, again, 1 Timothy 1:7. 1 Timothy 1:7, here's another reason why. It's all over. From which some, having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, bringing people back under bondage, under the law, understanding neither what they say nor whether they affirm. These are Christians, right? That's why we have to earnestly contend for the faith. That's why Jude is warning about these things. Because if you don't, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Right? If you don't stand on the Word of God, you're open to everybody. And let me tell you, these devils, they're seducing. That's why they call them seducing spirits. They'll talk you into it. Hey, there's been times I've been in conversations with the water dogs, and I'm like, man, that makes a lot of sense. And then I got to go back to the Bible. That's wrong. But they're very convincing. And if you don't know the Bible, you can be duped. And then, hey, I'll give you an example. There's a guy that went from a King James Bible to an NIV to a Jewish Bible in a month and a half up at that Chinese fellowship. And when he's, I'm just going to say, I couldn't believe it. And now this guy is, I'm not going to mention his name, but now he's over in China, and he was a citizen here, but now he's over in China, and he's got a study group going on this Jewish thing. where the Jews to church, all this other stuff. It's just amazing. But if you don't earnestly contend for the faith, you'll be talked into anything, and it's convincing, especially when you have no knowledge of anything. And so, but there's people that want to teach the law. So Jude is warning believers. He's exhorting believers that they need to earnestly contend for the faith of the Word of God. Folks, one thing is for sure, and that is you and I, if you're saved, we can earnestly contend for the faith that we do know. Right? We don't know everything that's in the Bible. I mean, but we have it all at our fingertips to learn it. But you and I can earnestly contend for the faith that we do know. And the first thing that every Christian does know is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved by grace through faith, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. And the second thing that every Christian should know, that's what I'm saying, they don't, not all of them do, is their eternal secured. Their eternal security, right? And that they have in Christ once the gospel's received. Because if you don't get grounded and settled in that, you can be talked out of your salvation, brought back under the law, in bondage again, even though you're saved, you think you're in bondage, and you're being held to standards that really don't apply to you. But there's moral standards in the Bible that apply to us all, okay? Even though we're saved by grace. You go around killing somebody and you're going to be in the condemnation of this world in some jail somewhere, right? You go around forcing yourself upon other people and you're going to be in jail somewhere and somebody's going to force themselves upon you, right? So there's some things that you are morally supposed to obey in the Bible here, but is that going to save you? Does that bring salvation? No, it doesn't. And it doesn't keep you saved. What keeps you saved is Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ keeps you saved. Just like by how you're saved, you're saved by grace through faith, you're kept by grace through faith. Okay, verse 4 in the book of Jude. Little book is so hard to find. Okay. Verse 4, the Bible says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So here the Bible is pointing out, it's pointing out about a certain group of people. And it's basically a corporate group of people that he's warning you about through this epistle. And he's throughout this epistle, really. Jude makes it plain that this group of people he is talking about, folks, are lost. They don't have the gospel. They haven't ever received the gospel. They are lost, and their end result will be in verse 13. The Bible says, "Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." That's an unsaved man. That's reserved for an unsaved man, not a saved man. Okay? And so the fact that these men are lost is obvious when you read those verses like that. And there's more in there. And as we move on, we'll see them. But there is nothing new Jude is warning about here in this book, really. There's nothing new. You find similar warnings in places like 2 Peter 2:1 and also in Galatians 2, 4, and 5. Look, if you would, in Galatians 2, 4, and 5. Galatians 2. The Bible says, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you, okay? And so Paul says, hey, these guys, they snuck into the church, but once we discovered them, and it was less than an hour once they started talking, right? Less than an hour. It took less than an hour to figure out who they were and what they believed in and what they wanted to teach. And they were ousted. Get rid of them. We're not going to let them speak in this place, right? And so the warning here by Jude is it's repetitious to what Paul says. It's repetition to what Timothy warned about. And it's repetitious to what Jesus warned about. Jesus warned in Matthew 7:15, he said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. They're coming in privately, under disguise. They have the appearance of a Christian. They wear a suit and tie. They shave. Well, I didn't shave this morning. My wife says I look like a bum. You know, my dad made a joke. I went over there and dropped the dog off. It's his birthday day, but I dropped the dog off. And he goes, hey, you must not have any washcloths clean. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, you got some scruff on your face. I said, well, I don't use a washcloth. He goes, you got to, because you don't need a razor. But they come into church, these ravaging wolves. They come in to church not to feed with the sheep, but to feed on the sheep. And these are the type of people that come into church, you know, when they walk out and they say, boy, I really didn't get anything out of that one. I didn't get anything from that sermon. I don't go to church anymore because I just don't get anything there. You know what you're saying? Wolves eat sheep. Sheep eat grass. Right? They eat pasture. And if the pastor is putting out pasture or leading the sheep to pasture and the wolves aren't getting fed, it's because wolves don't eat pasture. Something to think about. And so that's one of the most sure ways to spot a wolf, when they just say, I'm just not getting fed there. I'm not getting anything from the pastor. So I need to go somewhere else. You know? And they keep moving from church to church and they never get anything. They have different tastes. But the first kind of wolves that there's a couple different types of teachers and preachers in the Bible. Okay? The first kind is wolves that are unsaved men and women. And the second is saved men and women. And you'll notice that difference in Acts, in the book of Acts. Acts 20, verses 29. Acts 20, verse 29, the Bible says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Okay, so they're going to be unsaved people that want to get you, and they're going to be saved people that want to get you, right? And the reason why you need to learn the Bible, and a pastor and a teacher or what, they need to learn the Bible. Everybody needs to learn the Bible, right? Not just the pastor, not just the teacher. It's an effort that everybody needs to put forth in, And the reason why is because when the wolves come in and when the saved people come in that want to get you, they want to get you to follow them, they're gonna come with challenges. They're going to come with challenges and things that are not written in the Bible. Ideas. Right? Ideas. imaginations, whatever, but they don't line up with the Word of God. And if you don't understand and you haven't earnestly contended for the faith and you don't know what's in the Bible, again, you can be easily deceived. Easily deceived. And so we need, as Christians, need to earnestly contend and fight for what we've learned and continue in what we have learned, and so we're not overcome by the challenges that are presented by these people, because they're going to be convincing. And, yeah. Yes.
If somebody wants to challenge their self to know, to see what they know about God's Word,
yeah.
Just watch so-called Christian television. Watch so-called Christian preachers and see if they can persuade you with their argument, because that's all they're full of.
Yeah.
It's psychology and ideas.
Yes, it is. Right, right, right. And he got to do that because, I mean, the Brother Paul has got a lot of, he's been in the church for a long time. I mean, he knows a lot of Bible, right? So he can need to do that. But a guy that doesn't know anything, you see it all the time. They just sit there, oh yeah, this guy. I mean, if you've got some knowledge of the Bible and you've earnestly contended for the faith, yeah, it's easy to spot. But for those that aren't, they could be deceived, yeah. Right. What do they call that? They are motivative speakers. Motivative speakers. They get you. But anyway, again, Judas, he's not warning the church about saved men, but unsaved men, and who will not preach the gospel. And these are men who were before of ordained to this condemnation. What condemnation? The condemnation we read about in verse 13. Jude 13. We just read it, but I'll read it again. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's the condemnation. Okay? When men, and that's the condemnation where men start out with. Right? But men don't have to end up with that same condemnation, folks. They don't. And that's where Jesus Christ comes in. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't get that condemnation anymore. You don't. You fall under this corporate group. They're ordained. It's an ordination. Judas is a great picture of one of these wolves. Judas Iscariot. And Judas, he walked with Christ. And he was a disciple for 3.5 years, and nobody knew he was a wolf. Nobody. And you find he was prophesied about in the Old Testament, but his name isn't there. But he was prophesied, that type of person was prophesied about. You have it in Psalm 109, 4 through 8, and there's a prophecy of Judas Iscariot. Even though he's not named, but anybody could have fit into that position. And again, Psalm 41:9, another prophecy of Jesus of Judas Iscariot. And Judas fit that bill. He wasn't named, but he fell into that criteria. And in Acts 1, Peter makes mention of Judas, but that is after Judas fulfilled it. He names him. And so the point being made here is that God's ordination found in Jude never eliminates man's free will. A man chooses to be condemned or not condemned, folks. And just like Judas chose to be the one to betray Jesus Christ, it didn't have to be him. He was never named in the Old Testament, but somebody we knew was going to betray him. And another example that proves that God's ordination never eliminates man's free will is found in Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Okay? He's before ordained for a Christian to walk in good works. So let me ask you something. Do you walk in good works? All day? Every day? Even though you were ordained to do this? I don't. I can tell you that. But yet God's ordination is that I do. And I have free will to walk in them or to not walk in them. And sometimes I choose not to walk in them. And it's something that we got to work on every day of our lives, folks. And it shows you that God's ordination never interferes with man's free will. But it's there. It's there. But these are ungodly men. They're ungodly men. And so a person is ordained to the condemnation in Jude if they fall into that group that he's getting ready to describe, folks. And we'll go ahead and stop there for today, and we'll get into this description of these ungodly men next week. Okay, Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for the book of Jude, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that we would walk in the ordination that you ordained us to walk in good works. Even though we know we're not saved by them, we know that we need to walk in them. And we pray that we would do so, Lord. And we pray now for the services today that you would just bless them for Christ's sake. We pray these things. Amen.